of today is I'd like to scratch the surface of some foundational hashkafos on Eretz Yisrael. Okay? So we're gonna try to go through quickly through these marmakomas. There are two packets that everyone should have. One is a regular sheet, and the other one is like a 5-page stapled packet. And we're gonna learn some of this together inside, so we could see it from the sources. Okay, we're gonna start from the first source. We're gonna start from this page over here. Okay, yeah, we're good. Everyone has. You need this. Daniel, wanna? Okay. The first source is the very beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Aleph. Vayomer Hashem el Avram, Lech Lecha me'artzecha, mimoladetcha, mebeis avicha, el ha'aretz asher areka. So Hashem tells Avram that it's time to leave your homeland, it's time to leave your parents' home, your house, and you're going to go to a land. I'm going to show you where you're going to go. V'eschal agai gadol, I'm going to make you into a big nation, v'arachecha, v'agadla, shemecha, v'ebracha, it's going to be good. Fine. So Pasuk Dalet says, v'ayelach Avram kasher diber alav Hashem, he left. V'ayelach yitol Lot, and he went with Lot. V'Avram, hear the key words, ben chamesh shanim v'shivim shana. How old was Avram when he left his parents' home to go to Eretz Yisrael? Again, he didn't know he was going to Eretz Yisrael, but to go to this foreign land, which ended up being Eretz Yisrael. How old was he? 75 years old. Okay, write it down on the side, right here next to the source. He was 75 years old when he left Charan, and he went to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, there's another word too. Okay, 75 years old. Next, Bereishis Perek Tezvav, later on in Parshas Lech Lecha, this is later, okay, later in Parshas Lech Lecha, 3 prakim later, Perek Pasuk Zayin through Chaf Aleph, we don't have to go through the whole thing, but that is the Torah is telling us about the episode of the Bris Bein Abisarim, where Hashem made a covenant with Avram Avinu, and over there, he says that if you look at Pasuk, all of it. It says, Vayomer, let's start from the beginning. Vayomer lav, ani Hashem, asher tzeisicha me'or kastim, I'm God who took you out of or kastim, latet lecha es ha'aretz hazos, to give you this land. And the rest of the whole thing is about this land. Avram asks, well, how do I know I'm going to inherit this land? And Hashem says, because I'm going to do this covenant with you, that your family is going to go down and they're going to go away, but they're going to come back to this land. Okay, they're going to come back to this land. So what land, where did this happen? Where did the story with the Bris Bein Abisarim happen?
Charan.
Which land did he give him? Eretz Yisrael, right? Eretz Canaan, right? Eretz Yisrael, right? So Avram Avinu is in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, this is 3 prakim later. Makes sense, right? At 75 years old, he left his hometown. He came to Eretz Yisrael. And now he's in Eretz Yisrael. And he has this discussion with Hashem. He has this back and forth. And Hashem is saying, I'm promising this land that we're sitting in right now, Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to give you. Okay? And the Pasuk says, in Pasuk Yud Gimel, in the middle of that paragraph, says, Vayomer l'Avram, Hashem says to Avram, Yadoa teido ki ger yez aracha ba'aretz lo lehem. Just letting you know that your descendants are going to be in a land that's not theirs. Vavadum vinu osam, they're going to be afflicted. Arba me'o shana. 400 years. Okay? So Avram Avinu is in Eretz Yisrael. He's talking to Hashem. Hashem says, I promise you this land, but you should know you're not staying here forever. Your descendants are going to have to go down for 400 years to another land. Okay. Comes Rashi, the third source over here, Perek Tezvav, Pasuk Yud Gimel, and Rashi says something very, okay, I'm going to simplify this. Okay, so this is going to be very easy. And it's gonna be, I think, one of the most profound things I've ever heard. This is beyond, okay? Rashi says as follows, Ki ger yezarecha, you're gonna be 400 years, your descendants are gonna be 400 years in another country. So Rashi says, hold on a second, not too fast. Let's count on our fingers exactly if this fits. Mishinolad Yitzchak, from the time that Yitzchak was born, until the Jews left Egypt, tough shana. That was 400 years. The Jewish people were not in Mitzrayim for 400 years. They were actually there, as Rashi continues to explain, was only there for 210 years. And he makes his whole calculation. We don't have to do that right now. So the Jewish people were there for 210 years. But Hashem just said they're going to be outside of Eretz Yisrael for 400 years. So what's that referring to? So Rashi says the 400 years starts from the birth of Yitzchak. Why it starts from there, that's not for now. But the 400 count starts from the birth of Yitzchak until they leave Mitzrayim. How long were they actually in Mitzrayim for? Only 210 years. Okay, so all you have to know right now is that from the time Yitzchak was born until they left Mitzrayim was 400 years. Good, we're good. Avram was 75 when he went to Eretz Yisrael. The Bris Bein HaBesarim, where Hashem promises him Eretz Yisrael, was in Eretz Yisrael. It was there, he was there. And from the birth of Yitzchak until the Jews leave Egypt, 400 years. Okay, step four. Shmos Perek Yud Beis. Pasuk says, Umoshav b'nei Yisrael asher yashvu b'mitzrayim. How long were the Jewish people in Mitzrayim for? Shloshim shana, 30 years, v'arba me'ol shana, and 400. They were in Egypt for 430 years. Okay? So, here, hold on a second. First you told me it was 400 years. Now you're telling me it was 430 years. So the 400 years, we know, is not the time they were in Egypt, we said. They're only in Egypt for 210 years. What were the 400 years from? From the birth of Yitzchak. Okay. But what's this now? 430 years. What does that mean? So comes Rashi and says, Shloshim shana v'arba mil shana. What's these 430 years? Veina kol mishino led Yitzchak ad achshav. From the time of the birth of Yitzchak until now that we leave Egypt, hayu arba mil shana. Only 400 years, like we said. Once Avram had a child. So what are the 30 years extra? It was from the time of the Bris Bein HaBesarim until Yitzchak was born. That was 30 years. Okay, so again, this is very, very easy. The Bris Bein HaBesarim happened in Eretz Yisrael. 30 years later, Yitzchak was born. From the time Yitzchak was born, 400 years later, the Jews left Egypt. Clear? Hold on, slow down. Now, how old was Avram when Yitzchak was born? Look at the last source on the page. Bereshis Perek Chaf Aleph Pasuk Hey. Ve'Avram ben Me'a Shana. He was 100 years old. Bivaled lo es Yitzchak b'no. Okay, so let's review the math again. This is first grade math here, okay? The Bris Bein HaBesarim happened in Eretz Yisrael. 30 years later, Yitzchak was born. 400 years later, the Jews left Egypt. Avram was 100 years old when Yitzchak was born. How old was Avram at the Bris Bein HaBesarim? 70 years old. Okay, good? However, the problem is that when he went to Eretz Yisrael in the beginning of Lech Lecha, the Pasuk said he was 75. So now, what is going on over here, okay? The beginning of Lech Lecha, the first time he's going to Eretz Yisrael, he's leaving his hometown, he's leaving his homeland to go to Eretz Yisrael, he's 75 years old. Three prakim later, he's in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, Ha'aretz Hazos, and he's talking to Hashem, and Hashem is saying, you're going to get this land back, but you know, you're going to have to go on a detour 400 years, and at that point, he's 70 years old. How'd that happen? Oh, so comes along the Seder Ayom, that we've shown him, quote, the Seder Ayom, Tosfos and Maseches Brachos, I'm sure you might have seen that in the first parak of Brachos, okay, or other places, but the Seder Ayom, all the Rishonim bring this, the Seder Ayom says, that obviously the order is not the correct order. It must be that we thought the first time Avram ever went to Eretz Yisrael was the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha. No, that's not true. He was there already before, 5 years before actually. He had this conversation with Hashem. For some reason, he left Eretz Yisrael. It's like he went on a birthright trip. And then he left, and then he had 4 years of college. So he finished, and 5 years after he left, he went back to Eretz Yisrael. So at the age of 75, he went back into Eretz Yisrael. Okay. The question is, why in the world did Avraham leave? Didn't have college back then. Yeah, that's a joke. So why did he leave? Why, if Avram went already at the age of 70, why did he leave to go back then at the age of 75? Okay, so there's a discussion in the Rishonim. The Rush in Maseches Yevamos actually seems to imply that Avram is actually punished for leaving. We'll leave that aside for now. That's not so relevant. But I'd like to share with you the answer of the Sefer Charedim. The Sefer Charedim, that's in this packet over here, okay? The Sefer Charedim was written in the 1500s. After the Spanish Inquisition, Rabbi Elazar ben Moshe Azkari, he was famous for the Sefer Charedim, but many people know him because he wrote Yedid Nefesh. Okay, that song that we all love, Friday night, Yedid Nefesh, he wrote the words, he's buried in Tzfat, he's one of the Mekubalim in Tzfat, and he wrote a Sefer, a halachic work, that's a very important introduction, it's a halachic work called the Sefer Charedim, again in the 1500s, and in there, Perek Nuntes, he writes the following. We're going to learn this together. V'tzarech kol ish Yisrael. Every Jewish person has to, he must, l'chabev es Eretz Yisrael. He has to love Eretz Yisrael. V'lavo ela and come to it, me'af sei aretz, from the corners of the world, from the nowheres of the world. B'tshuka gedola, with a tremendous tshuka, tremendous desire. Kiben el chekimo. Like a little baby that wants from the mother's bosom, he's totally starving. He wants so badly to come back to Eretz Yisrael. Ki tchilas avoneinu shenik balanu b'chila doros yan ma'asnu ba'as, because we didn't care about it, so we got kicked out. Ma'asnu b'eretz chem da, fine. Turn the page. V'pidu nafshenu meheri yekasov, we're going to be redeemed in Meretz Hashem. And he says we should sing songs about Eretz Yisrael, etc., how much we love it, etc. Okay. Next paragraph. Gama krovim varchokim asher chutzala. Even the people that are outside of Eretz Yisrael, roilem sheyu nichsafim uteivim elaha. You might have for some reason why you have to live here, you have to live there, your job, your family, whatever the reason is, you're doing kirov, whatever the reason is, you have to live outside of Eretz Yisrael. But every Jew should have this burning desire nichsafim uteivim of a taiva for Eretz Yisrael. Ki kishim shebachar b'hem, because just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us, kach bachar b'Eretz Yisrael. Hashem also chose Eretz Yisrael. That's the real land. V'yichedo salahem, and he made it special for us. V'ein ikroim goy echad, we cannot be called one nation, ela ima, unless it's together with Eretz Yisrael. Shekech kach perish Rashbi, equals to Zohar, etc., etc., etc. Okay. And then on the bottom of that page, he says as follows. Not even that page. Okay, we'll continue. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amar Avram. It's the last word on the line, five lines into that paragraph. Umatzinu b'medrash HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amar Avram Avinu Pam Yishona Sheyelech L'Eretz Yisrael V'yirena V'yachzor. We see in the Medrash, that's the state of Yom that I was referring to, that Hashem told Avram to go to Eretz Yisrael, but then he told him to leave and go back home. V'acha Shechazar, and after he went back home to Haran, Lo nasan lo rishus lachzor leleches l'Eretz Yisrael. He wanted to go back. He wanted to go back to Eretz Yisrael. He went on that trip. He saw it. He felt the kedusha in the air. He saw that this was the place that Hashem says this is the place that we're going to be together. This is where you're going to live. And then Hashem says you got to leave. And he left. And all he wanted was to come back. But Hashem didn't let him. Ad chamesh shanim, until 5 years later, the age of 75, that's the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, where Hashem says, okay, it's time to go, to leave the house, we're gonna go now to somewhere we're not even gonna tell you, and then he brings him to Eretz Yisrael. V'osan chamesh shanim, what's the point? Why, if he wanted so badly to go to Eretz Yisrael, why did Hashem say, I'm not letting you go back? During those 5 years, hayim ishtokek lachzor leleches, he had this burning desire to just go back. And every time, Hashem, can I go back now? No. Oh, I want it so bad. And the more he didn't get it, the more he wanted it. The burning desire just kept on growing and growing and growing. Okay. Mutav Lalim B'Midbaros, the Gemara says, it's better to live in the deserts, shall Eretz Yisrael, in the hot, sweaty, rocky lands of Eretz Yisrael, v'lo Lalim B'Palterios, and not to live in these castles and Chutz La'aretz. Vayatayv. And Avram was craving this. He just so badly wanted to go back. Umisha Hursha. When Hashem led him. Ksivayelech Avram Kashir Diber Lav Hashem. He just went. The Kodim Bola Aretz Loyim Mishtokek. But before he ever went on that birthright trip, the first time at the age of 70, before he went that first time to see Eretz Yisrael and feel it, he didn't desire Eretz Yisrael. He never craved for it. He didn't know what it was. He didn't realize what he was missing out on. But once he went there on that first pilot trip, turn the page, Pam Rishona the first time, the Rab Mare Navu, and he had that prophecy, Yekar Tiferes Kedushas Aretz, the glory and the most amazing part of Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha, as Nichsof Nichsof. He had this incredible desire. Umimenu Nilmad Ladoros. And from there, we learn forever. What's the point of this whole story in the Torah that he was there and he did it, he left? And what's the point of that? To teach us for future generations, to teach me and to teach you. Anachnu, us, Yotzei Chalotzav, the descendants of Avraham Avinu, Lios Nichsafim Kamo, we have to have this burning desire. Afo Pisho Shveh Betzar. Even though, you know, it's not so easy to live here. It's not so easy. They tax at a higher bracket, pain in the neck, can't get all the drinks and food necessarily you could have in America. It's not so easy. But even though you should desire to be here, Amanaz Kach Niasmechim Bisurim. And that's what we're supposed to be sameach with the assumed the difficulties of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, he goes on. We have more. You should have time. You could read the next paragraph. Paragraph after that, he quotes the Ramban in the Tariq Mitzvos. The Ramban quotes one of the 613 Mitzvos is to live in Eretz Yisrael. That's one of the 613. It's a Mitzvos Yish of Eretz Yisrael. Kol Eisorega, every single moment Shadam be Eretz Yisrael that you're here. Who mekayim Mitzvot? That means you now. Every even if you're not living here yet. Every moment that we're here, we're mekayim the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Okay, and talks about the greatness of the mitzvah, etc. Fine. So again, what's he say? This is a mamash, an amazing thing. Hashem, like, teased Avram. He took Avram into Eretz Yisrael, let him feel it. It's really good. Here, huh? Bye. You have to leave. Can I come back now? No. 5 years, you got to stay. And as Hashem, he just wanted it more and more and more and more, so that when he'd re-enter into Eretz Yisrael, to age of 75, when it was time for him to be there, he went in with a burning desire. Why was that needed? Because that's the way you have to be in Eretz Yisrael. You can't come to Eretz Yisrael as, oh, I went on a tour to Greeks, and I went on a tour to Israel. And yeah, it was a nice tour. Pictures from here, pictures from there. Can't be like that. It has to be with a cheshek, and a desire, and hishtokakus, and a burning of a yearning to be in Eretz Yisrael. And that's how it has to be even once you're here. You know, this happens every single time. Like, I take a family up to the roof that, you know, they're coming to visit and so they get up there and it happened yesterday. And one of my mother's friends turned to me and she said, David, do you ever get bored of this? Like, do you realize like what you're, and I'm like, I tell you the truth, I don't always pay attention. But one of the reasons I like people, bringing people up there is because I get to see all their excitement and it reminds me, like, you know, we become numb a little bit. Yeah, we have Eretz Yisrael. Like we see the Kotel, like how many times you actually go down. You know, like it's like, it does become numb. I'm sure all of you agree to this, right? On some level, it's not as exciting as that first time. He's saying that's anti-Torah. The Torah was Dafka saying that you got to come with a burning passion. And we have to keep on igniting that passion. There's a story about the Sadi Ger Rebbe that he in Auschwitz, they made him, you know, it was like funny to make the rabbi do like all this menial labor in front of all the Jews. So the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, they made him like sweep the floors in the ghettos over there. So he said if he made a neder, if he ever gets out of here and he gets to Eretz Yisrael, he's gonna sweep the floors of Hashem's palace. So Kach Aveh, he survived and he came to Eretz Yisrael and he lived in Tel Aviv. And every morning he'd get up very, very early and he'd sweep the floors in Tel Aviv. And like, imagine a Hasidish Rebbe like sweeping that every morning. Everyone knew he got up early, very, very early, and he'd sweep the floors in Tel Aviv. Because this is the streets of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is like how could you not appreciate when you walk down the street what we're walking on? Another time, and it wasn't like nowadays that people just come on airplanes all the time and it's easy. So one of his chassidim, it was his third time coming. So he said, you know, Rebbe, I don't understand. I see you every single time. You're here in Eretz Yisrael. You're like glowing. You're excited. He said, I don't get it. This is my third time and I don't feel it like the first time. And again, this isn't, you know, like people come nowadays three times a year, four times a year. The third time to Israel, like, wow, no one did that, you know? And he wasn't feeling it. So he asked, like, he said, I'll give you a mashal. He says, take a guy who's totally a poor person, homeless. He lives on the park bench, doesn't have clothing, he can't eat, eats from the garbage cans, like, it's disgusting. It snows on him and it rains on him and it's just a disgusting existence. And all of a sudden, the king comes and takes him and puts him in his palace, gives him his own room, his own jacuzzi. He gets all of a sudden the, you know, the freshest clothing and the food all he wants. And every day he's just thinking like, oh, I wish I could stay one more day. Just one more. I just don't want to go back. He said, I was worse than that person on the park bench. I was in the concentration camps. We were treated worse than animals. And all of a sudden I'm invited to the king's palace. What, I'm not going to be ecstatic? So how many of us have that hishtokukus that the Sefer Haredim is speaking about, that Hashem said had to be there? Avram Avinu, Avram, that we all try to be. He couldn't be in Eretz Yisrael after just the first time because he didn't come in with a burning desire. You got to come in with this cheshek and this passion, and this is where it's at. And I love this. And every single moment I'm mekayim the mitzvah, and it just goes on and on and on, and it's burning within us. So this is the message that these psukim, again, a little bit of a complicated Rashi, but it is teaching us that Avram was brought in, he was shown what it is, he was taken out to burn up the desire, so that when he goes in, it's super strong. And that's a lesson for us that we have to realize that the fact that we have Eretz Yisrael to be in, the fact that we're able to learn here is nisim of the highest level, and that we're able to feel and be margish the love for Eretz Yisrael and the Kedusha, and we have to keep on feeling that. And if it ever gets dull for a moment, we have to do something to like really appeal, like do something really weird, like pick up a wrapper from the floor or something. Like, how could there be a wrapper? Like, you know, you wouldn't do that in New York City, but like here, like just pick it up, because why am I doing that? Because I got to remind myself that this is the palace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't have a wrapper on the floor. We have to really appreciate that on a super duper high level. Okay. I want to share with you now, after we all internalize this message and work on it, share with you a letter. Okay, if you turn the page now, to page 4. This is a letter from Rav Dessler in a Sefer, famous Sefer, Michtav Meliyahu. Michtav Meliyahu is 5 volumes. Okay, this is volume 3, page 351. Rav Dessler was the Mashgiach of the Panovitcher Yeshiva. Okay, the Panovitcher Yeshiva in Bnei Brak. Many of us were able to go visit that. One of the strongest, most prominent yeshivas in the entire world. And he was the mashgiach of this very intense, high-level yeshiva. And I made a cheshbon. I did the math for everyone. The letters is written Yom Hei, Thursday, Parshas Kisavo, the year Tuf Shin Ches. So I figured out what that was. So that was September 23rd, 1948. And I spent the time figuring that out because I thought that date is very, very important. September 23rd, 1948, that means that this was only a few months after the Medinat Eretz Yisrael was set up. Okay? So we're a few months later, the Mashgiach of the Panovitch Yeshiva in Bnei Brak writes a letter to his students. Why did he write a letter to his students? Because, for whatever the reason was, I think it was because his father was sick, actually, he had to be in England. And therefore, he missed the Yamim Naroi, missed Rosh Hashanah in Yeshiva. So the Mashgiach of Yeshiva, not to be in a Yeshiva for Rosh Hashanah, that's like a big deal. So he wanted to write a letter to his Talmidim describing certain feelings that he had. Okay? And I'd like to read this letter, a part of the letter together. Yedidi, Chavivi, Yoshvei Seser, Levavi, Chaverai, my dear students that are sitting very close to my heart, Yeshiva, Kedosha, Tirdos Rabos, Savavuni Hekifuni, I'm very, very busy. There are a lot of tirdos, things that are distracting me, that are surrounding me. Vilim wrote, Otsem Rasonian, despite the incredibly strong desire that I have, Lichtov Michtavim, to write letters to Chufim, Lo Yachoti B'Shemofen, I just couldn't do it. I've so badly wanted to write to you, my dear students, I just haven't been able to. I'm too busy. Levavi Imchem, but my heart is with you. My thoughts are with you. To my deep regrets, I'm far from you. I'm far away. I'm in England and you're in Bnei Brak. I was not zocha to be with you, together, during the days of judgment. I wasn't able to be with you, and I really wanted to be there. It's hard to write in words deep things. Ma'od, alay gilyon, on paper. You have to express it in words, and I only could write. But there's a lot of things that I want to tell you. Even the things that I could write and explain in writing, I don't have time to be able to do. I don't have the time to do what I want. This goes until late at night. He's explaining why he hasn't been in contact, basically. Okay, in a very poetic way. But he has this very deep and important thing that he wants to go ahead and tell everyone. What is this? Okay, he misses Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur in Yeshiva. He's in England. And he wants to tell his high-level, super high-level students in the Panovich Yeshiva in Bnei Brak something that's really important that he needs to get off his chest. What is it? Okay? Look at the bottom paragraph. Matzati kosev b'sfarim hakadoshim. Desla writes, it says in the Sfarim Hakadoshim, ki atam asher bikesh Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom, hareini nas kvodech. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, I want to see you, God. Show me who you are. When did he do that? Take acher slichas ma'aseh egel. Immediately after the sin of the golden calf. Okay? Sin of the golden calf. Hashem forgives. And all of a sudden, Moshe says, Hashem, I want to see who you really are. Why did that happen then? So he says, ki besur charon ha'af. Because when Hashem takes away extreme wrath, as mizgalgalim rachem memerubim, the Sfarim HaKadoshim say that when that happens, tremendous mercy starts to come out. You can have an intensely terrible, difficult situation, and when that goes away, all of a sudden, tremendous rachemim comes about. And therefore, after the Cheder Egel, which was the worst of the worst, and Hashem was, I'm done with these people. It's over. But then there was a Slicha and Kapara. They were forgiven. So Moshe knew that after such a anger, and Hashem basically saying all the Jewish people are finished, now is going to come the Rachamim. So Hashem, let me see your face. Let me see. Because the Rachamim always comes after tremendous wrath. Yoter me'ilu lo yacharon af klal. More rachamim comes than if the wrath never came to begin with. I mean, Hashem is always showing rachamim. But the intense rachamim comes after an intense wrath. Va'al Yaakov's Ekev, the Yaakov Shimon Parshas Ekev, etc., etc., etc. Okay, turn the page. And he writes as follows. He says, on the second line, Amnam yoter mizeh yeshcham. There's something a little more deeper that's going on over here. Nistakel na bedavar heitiv. Look very closely. When Hashem decrees that for some reason there has to be pain and affliction, yisurim on us, what's the point of that? Because Hashem just wants to play games with us? No, chas v'shalom. Rather, the point is to teach us a lesson that hopefully we're going to repent. But some people don't. They experience whatever they experience, but they don't come back and do tshuva. So, ain lo otikva. So now what's going to be with them? But what else is there to do to get them to come back? Kamar l'shavi kisi. Like Hashem says, I hit them for nothing, es b'neichem, your sons. Musa lo lakacha, because they didn't take the lesson. Aval yesh odeitza. But there's another way to get them back. There's another way to generate tshuva. Dahainu, what is that? Shehashem yisbarach, pitom. Out of nowhere, instantaneously, Hashem misnag barachem gedolim. He gives you enormous present. Lemaila mikol hashara. Beyond anything that someone could have imagined. Va'afilu osim shol yilamdu me'asurim. Even those that maybe didn't learn the lesson from the hit, from the punishment, ki bazeh pesach gadol fnei adam. But then when they see the rachamim gadolim, when they see the present, they're like, whoa! Where did that come from? Because that's an opening. Hayishapchus min akatzel akatzel. Two extremes. Extreme, what we'll call punishment, difficulties, and then extreme chesed, extreme rachamim, extreme good. You sit back and you look like, How did that happen? Crazy bad and crazy good? How'd that happen? Whoa, there must be a God over here. Oh, you know what? Maybe I should start to become a better person. Maybe I should take life a little bit more seriously. Some people don't get the hint when something really bad happens. So then Hashem has another way, another avenue. He does this crazy good thing, and you look at it and like, what's with this world? This isn't normal. There must be a God here. There must be something bigger going on here. I need to take the message. So the rachamim for the other end, it's not just that when something bad happens, all of a sudden rachamim comes. It's purposeful. It's there to send us a message, to wake us up. And therefore, if we're deaf to it, there's a real issue. As he explains, Mikatzeh Yisurin, from the extreme of the bad, Lekatzeh Nachas, to the extreme of good. Tzarech She'orer Zeres Adam, they should wake someone up. Ki Ma'is Hashem Ne'ima. This is the action, this is the way of God. This isn't normal. Vafilu Mishalo Shav Mi'Yisurin, even someone who didn't repent from the Yisurin that he had, Ulaya Shod Berasu Achasadim Agadolim, maybe he'll come back when he starts to see all the amazing chesed that Hashem does. V'yargish Bem flows, he'll see the awesomeness, Be'osa Yeshua Gadol Kolchach, when he sees the incredible salvation. Which we spoke about in the part that we skipped. He called me the Shanakus and Baruch, and it was Phil Gashmias. Hashem doesn't just do things for the physical part of it. Everything is here to teach us a lesson. Okay. And then he explains. Let's skip the next paragraph. Because of time. Masha Anu Bo Aksha the Eretz HaKadosha. Now that whoever didn't figure out what he's been talking about on September 23rd, 1948. You already know what he's saying here, okay? But he speaks it out anyway. Masha anu bo achshav be'eretz hakadosha. That we are here now in Eretz Yisrael. Kashet, now, just understand. Panovich existed before the state was established. So he's saying specifically now, after the state was established. He's saying, that we're here in Eretz Hakadosha. Kashet la'diro ke'eit kaschalta de'gula. It's hard for me to tell you that this is the beginning of the redemption. I'm not a prophet. I can't tell you that the redemption exactly has started. Aval al kopanim, chasadim gedolim and akatzel akatzehim. But this is an enormous chesed from the opposite extreme to the Holocaust. Mikatzeh yisurin shel churban sheishes alfei alafim me'achenu. From the extreme of the terrible destruction of the 6 million of our brothers, El Katzeh Sheni, to the other extreme, the establishment of the state is the extreme opposite on the good side from the Holocaust on the bad side. That's what he just said. All I did was read and translate. No interpretation. Okay? His Yashvus Amenu, the settling of our nation, Bibindinato, in the state of him, meaning God's state, Be'eretz HaKadosh in Eretz Yisrael. Mizet Tzarech Lumod, a person has to sit and learn from this, Ulekvoa Emuna Belev, and he has to set his Amuna in his heart. Oilami, woe is to the person, Shiyavo Liyoma Din, that's going to come to the day of judgment, Va'adayin sumahu, and he's still blind. Milirot davar muchashi kazeh, from seeing something so obvious. Hashem Yisbarach Yisayinu, God should help us. Lizchazik b'munaso v'avodaso, to strengthen in our muna and our service of Him. V'nidabik atzmenu, and to attach ourselves b'torah kedosha b'chol avinu v'nashenu amen ken yihi ratzon. And I sign my name, Eliyahu Eliezer Dessler. It is a very, very powerful letter from Mashgiach of Panovich to the students of Panovich. Okay, this is not, and like I said, this, he's saying you're blind if you don't see this. This is an obvious thing. So we learned from the 1500s, without a state of Israel, the incredible cheshek that a person has to have to an extreme to love Eretz Yisrael. We have to love it, we have to want it, we have to want it bad. And whoever has the opportunity to live here one day, Bez Hashem, you can never let this be numb. But the people that have to leave, even if you're not here, you still always have to have this cheshek. That's one of the basics of Judaism, to have a burning desire to want Eretz Yisrael and to come to Eretz Yisrael. That's where it's at. And the fact, like we learned from the letter, the fact that now we have this state that we're able to be in, and to be free in, and to do as we please, and to come and to go, and to learn Torah here, and to grow here. That, he says, is the extreme of the good opposite the extreme of the bad, of the Holocaust. So we have to, and we have to see, like, look what Hashem is doing. There's a God here. There's a plan. There's something going on. You know what? He says, I can't tell you yet if this is the beginning of the Gula. I have no idea. But you see that there's something going on. Something so extreme, so bad. And then right after, something so extreme, so good, you're blind if you don't see the obvious. And oi to the person that's going to go up to the Yom HaDin and did not recognize what happened and didn't just recognize, but grew from that observation, from being able to see what it is that we have to appreciate Hashem. Our emunah has to come super deep from it, and it has to turn ourselves into a higher level of service from Hashem. So anyone who actually has that experience, and I hope all of us do, it's not just an experience, not something that we like on a bucket list, you know, that you know, some people are saying to me, oh yeah, yeah, we're coming in for the 75th anniversary. And of course, how can I miss the 75th? It's not just like something like oh, check. You come in with a burning desire and you leave, or you stay, with a higher level of Avodas Hashem. And that's something that we all have to take with us and internalize in a very, very real way. This is just the basics. No politics here. No nothing. This is just the basics. That's it. That's it. This is where it's at. This is the basic foundation of Judaism. And it's important that we tap into it in a very real way, and you should never lose sight of it. Bez Hashem, it should help us to grow and experience everything that we want to experience and get closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Amen.